And I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. It was just crazy. We looked at each other like, what?
Are we really ready for this moment? Like, we were so excited and like we knew it was gonna happen. But then in that moment of like, holy cow, like this is actually happening.
I took that onesie and I made a cute little sign that said, hi, daddy, I can't wait to meet you. And I put the positive test and I laid it all out on our dining room table. And then I sat for like 2 hours.
You've landed on the From Bumps to Birth podcast. I'm your host, Ricky Hamley. As a crazy mom of six and a diehard birth geek, I created this space for parents to come and share their unique journeys to parenthood. Whether it's been smooth sailing or bumps along the way, there's no journey alike. So help me in honoring these stories and sit back, relax, and let your inner birth geek indulge. What's up, everyone? Welcome back. It is the first episode of 2021. I kind of took a longer break than anticipated because a lot of you are, I've been pretty transparent in some of my posts and stuff that I was having some crazy difficulties with my audio for some reason. And so I took a couple extra weeks to maybe try and get that figured out and see what was going on and test some other things. And I think I got it figured out. We'll keep our fingers crossed. But today's guest is actually a familiar gal. She is from episode 29. Her name is Isabella Singleton, and she is here to share her second birth story of her baby girl from a couple months ago. So without further ado, Isabella, thank you so much for coming on today. We're excited to have you. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Hi, I'm so excited to do this again. I've been waiting for you to come back, so it's super exciting. So my name's Isabella. I live in Salt Lake City, Utah with my husband, Brayden. I have a 2-year-old named Willow, and I just had my second baby girl. Her name is Sage. So it's been a big transit. So I'm really excited to kind of go into details about that. So, we were not trying for number two. My first daughter, Willow, she is a spitfire and she has been since day one. Big personality. She's a lot to handle sometimes. And so we had decided that we were going to wait like 3, maybe 4 years to try for another baby. So, you know, other people have other plans, I guess. And so, of course, the very first time that I decided to make love to my husband, I got pregnant. And I remember calling my mom like 2 days later and I told her, I said, Mom, I'm pregnant. And she said, don't jinx yourself. You know, you're not pregnant. Don't worry. And I knew I was because I remember with Willow, after I had conceived, my stomach was so upset and I was cramping really bad. So I just knew. So for like 3 weeks, I was taking tests and they were coming back negative, obviously, because it was way too early. And my mom was like, stop, you are scaring yourself. So I finally decided I was going to take the weekend. I wasn't going to test. Maybe I was going to start my period. So I waited like Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and I took a test on Tuesday morning and I just left it on my counter and I forgot about it. And I like totally went about my day. So finally, like 11:30, I go and I put Willow down for her nap and I go to the bathroom and I'm like, oh yeah, I took this, and I flip it over and it was positive. And when I tell you, I screamed, I was so shocked because I had been getting negative tests. And like, as much as I like knew that I was pregnant, I just like didn't want to accept it. So the very first thing I did was called my mom. And I was crying. And it's not because I didn't want another baby, but it was because I was so, so scared. Because number one, like, how do you love another baby? You know, now Willow is walking and talking and she can tell me what she wants. And I was so scared to start over and deal with my spitfire baby. So it was definitely a big shock. But I called my mom and my mom's like, well, you know what happens, you know, when you make love to your husband, this is the outcome. So it was kind of like, I mean, like, thanks, Mom, for the support, I guess. I don't know. So I ended up just sending a picture to my husband, and it was my last pregnancy test. And I sent it to him, and I said, hey, so there's this. And he's like, wait, what does two lines mean? And I'm like, seriously, dude, you've been through this before. And here we are again. You have no idea. So I told him to pick me up more when he got home. So he comes home with like five different types of pregnancy tests. He's like, you can get like a false negative, can't you? Or a false positive. And I was like, no, dude, that like rarely happens. So of course, here I am, like over the next 3-4 days, I'm not even kidding you, I probably took like 9 more pregnancy tests. It was insane. And I still have them all. But yeah, so that was that. And I just, you know, over the next couple of weeks, I was just stressing out about it, because even like, as much as you don't, you think you're not ready for another baby, like the moment you find out that you're pregnant, it's like a whole different story. I was so excited to be a mom again. And I mean, all of the emotions were just kind of like up and down. Okay, so my first appointment, so with COVID, everything is different. So my first appointment, I couldn't have Brayden with me, which was kind of hard, because I personally feel like the first appointment is probably the scariest for me personally. So that definitely was really hard. I went in and everything was great. You know, everything exactly where it needed to be. And it was ironic because I remember Willow's heartbeat at her very first appointment. It was 156. And I don't even know how I remember that, because it's like the tiniest thing. But Sage's heartbeat was 156 as well. And that moment, I was like, it's another girl. And I'm a total girl mom. I don't know, the big bows, the clothes, the shoes, the painting, the fingernails. It's like totally me. I grew up in a family. I have 4 brothers and I was the only girl. And I was never that way. You know, I was playing with Ninja Turtles until I was like 8 or 9. And so to have little girls to like play with Barbies and stuff, like that's just been a big dream of mine. So I came home and I told Brayden, I said, we're having another girl. And he said, no, we're only having 2 kids. It's a boy this time. So with this one, again, even with Willow, we were like, okay, like totally opposite gender teams. One was a girl and he was a boy, you know? And yep. So we decided to do a gender reveal, which was really fun. And I had my sister-in-law plan it. So again, I had to go to my 20, or I went, I guess I went at 17 weeks for my gender scan, because I did it early. And I had my sister-in-law plan it. And the ultrasound tech was like, okay, what is it? You know, and I remember I was closing my eyes and I said, I know for sure in my heart that it is a girl, but my husband wants a boy so bad. So I wouldn't be upset with either, but it's a girl. We use like those little poppers that explode with the colorful confetti. The moment it exploded with a pink, I was just ecstatic, and I was kind of like in near facing my husband. Either way, like I said, boy or girl, I would have been happy. But in that moment, it was just like, okay, now it's real, worth it. And that doubt of like still being able to like love another child was still like lingering in the back of my mind. So kind of as time went on, I realized that I had like pregnancy depression, because I wanted to so badly like be excited about having another kid, but the worry was like outweighing that, you know, way too much. Because all of a sudden, like the further along that I got, the more scared I got. And I started having all of these doubts about being able to love another child, and even like thinking of like her. So then all of a sudden all these problems started coming up. It was like, okay, well, am I really ready to have another baby? Will I be able to love her, you know? And I put off everything. Her nursery wasn't done. I hadn't bought her a single outfit. I hadn't bought her a bow, like nothing, because I was so worried that for some reason in my head it was like I wasn't going to be bringing a baby home at the end of that, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up getting back on Zofia, which I had prior to my pregnancy, and my doctor told me to get off of it when I got pregnant. I ended up getting back onto it probably around like 32, 34 weeks. So after I started taking the medication, I kind of started to, like, I just feel like I was regulated. I didn't feel like the worry of not being able to love another baby was definitely there still. But I just kind of felt like, I mean, like, if you've taken, you know, medication for it, you kind of know how it feels. It just kind of, like, masks, like, the major worry of it. So I didn't want to admit at all to anybody that I was worried to, like, love another baby, but I felt like I needed to, like, voice that, because I remember having such terrible postpartum depression with, I had contemplated, like, saying something. I'm, like, a huge social media poster. So I mean, even with Willow, I posted about my postpartum depression a lot. But I had hesitated posting about, like, being worried to love another child, because I was worried that I was going to be judged for that. But I remember when I had my really bad postpartum depression with Willow, I had posted something on Facebook and I had a friend reach out to me and just say, like, this really helped me because I suffered with postpartum depression and I've been worried about saying something about it, you know? And so it was just kind of like all of a sudden, like, I was an inspiration to another friend, that it was like, I feel like I can help other people voicing that this is normal, because I feel like this is something that a lot of women go through, that when they get pregnant with their second baby, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to love this child as much as my first? And so I remember posting about it, and the amount of support from women that I got after posting that was, like, phenomenal. It's something that you can't explain, because you feel so alone in that moment where you feel like, okay, is this a normal feeling for me to feel? And then all of a sudden you have all these women who are like, nope, you know, you'll definitely feel this. But the moment that you hold that baby, it changes the whole dynamic of things. So that was something that was, like, really big for me. And so speaking out about, like, my concerns or about how I'm feeling has been something that I've learned over this time of being a mom, that it's important, you know? As time went on, with Willow, I had cholestasis in my pregnancy, and that made me high risk with her. So that was something that was a concern with Sage's pregnancy. My doctor was really good about, you know, drawing my blood, checking my bile acids to make sure that they weren't rising. And thank goodness, everything with this pregnancy was normal. Like, this was my pregnancy. Like, this was, like, my ideal pregnancy. I had no complications at all, which was really nice. The only bad thing, I guess it's not even bad, I guess it's just, like, the downfall, was I had Willow at 36 weeks. And so I was so, like, used to just, I mean, I wasn't pregnant after 36 weeks. And let me tell you, those days after 36 weeks are so much more difficult after, like, not being pregnant that long. So I was like, oh, cool. You know, like, Sage is going to come on her own anytime soon, whatever. No, this girl held in till, like, I think I was 38 weeks and 5 days when I had her. And I had an induction scheduled for that next Wednesday. But I was miserable. Like, when I tell you that I had nothing nice to say after 36 weeks, I had nothing nice to say to anybody. It was awful. but I had, so anyways, I went in for my 36 week appointment, and I was dilated to, like, a 4 already. And I was almost 70% effaced at 36 weeks. So I was convinced that she was going to come super soon, because my water broke with Willow at a 2. So, you know, I was waiting. I was doing everything that I could to try and get Sage out. I was bouncing on a yoga ball. I was walking on the curb. I was taking walks around the block. And I mean, mind you, it's December, so it's freezing here in Utah. And I'm walking around so pregnant, just around my block a million times, and nothing. So I finally went in for my 38-week appointment, and I was dilated to a 5.5. And I was 90% effaced. And my doctor stripped my membranes, and he's like, hey, if you don't have a baby by Friday, you know, come on in and I'll check you again, strip your membranes and see kind of like where we're at. Sure enough, she didn't come. And I was so frustrated and just so defeated at this point. I was like, hey, this baby can, you know, come whenever. It's fine. I'm just going to lay around and do nothing. And I had a friend who, she was like, you know, that baby mama dance. Yeah, you should do it. And so Thursday, the night before I had Sage, I was in my living room learning this dance from a YouTube video, practicing it so that I could learn it, film it, and post it on my Instagram to try and get this baby out. And I was going hard. Like, I used to be a dancer in high school, and so I was like, I'm going to do this. It's going to look so good. I'm 100 pounds heavier than I ever was, but I'm going to get this baby out. So I filmed it and I posted it on Facebook, and it was just like so fun to do, you know, because I was like so just, I was just sad because I wasn't, I mean, I wasn't not pregnant. And at that point, I was just so done. So that was a lot of fun. The next morning I woke up and the contractions were like full swing. And I had an appointment with my doctor that day. And so I went in at 9:45 and he checked me and I hadn't progressed at all. So he stripped my membranes and he's like, okay, if you have consistent contractions, go to the hospital. I'm going to be there for a scheduled C-section at like 12:30. So I went home. Well, I went to my parents' house because my mom was watching Willow, and I walked around their neighborhood for like 2 hours, and I was timing my contractions because my biggest fear is to go to the hospital and to get sent home and not come home with a baby, you know? So I was, my contractions were so consistent. They were 3 to 5 minutes apart. They were lasting a minute. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go, but I'm going to wait just a little bit longer to make sure that they're not going to send me home. Till 2:45, I was doing that. So I finally drove to the hospital. 3 o'clock, I get there. And, sure enough, my contractions, the first 40 minutes of my non-stress test were 3 to 5 minutes apart. And then all of a sudden they slowed down and they were 5 to 7 minutes apart. And so my nurse came in and checked me and I had progressed a half centimeter. And she was like, I'm going to call your doctor, but I don't think he's going to keep you. And I just broke down and I was just ugly crying in the triage room because I was like, this baby needs to come now. Sure enough, she goes and calls my doctor and he's like, send her home. She can labor at home and she'll come back. And, you know, she comes back into my room and I'm like, when can I come back? Because I know that I'm in labor. When can I come back? She's like, go home, walk around for maybe 20 minutes and, you know, come on back if you feel like they haven't slowed down. I'm not even kidding you. I get in my car, I'm on the phone with my husband, and I'm pulling out of the parking lot of the hospital, and my water breaks. So, I'm like, oh, I still have time, you know? My parents live 15 minutes from the hospital. I was like, I'm going to go home, I'm going to change, and I'm going to have my dad drive me back to the hospital. My contractions were still pretty slow after my water had broken, so I figured that I had enough time. Went home, got cleaned up, and my dad and my mom and Willow all drove me back to the hospital. We all forgot that there was major construction on the main road to get back to the hospital. By the time I actually walked in the doors to the hospital, my contractions were 2 to 3 minutes apart, and it was just like it was go time. I was so worried she was just gonna slide right out. one thing that was probably the hardest thing for me was that I had realized then and there that that was my last time seeing Willow before there was two. And I sat in the parking lot and I cried and I was holding Willow so tight. I was like, I love you. I love you. And she pushes me away and she says, go, go. And I was like, are you kidding me? This is a big moment for me. And you're just shooing me away. It was so... So I go back up to labor and delivery and I'm just bawling. And the nurse is like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, no, I just said bye to my toddler. I'm just an ugly mess. I'm sorry, you know? So they get me back to my room and my nurse comes in and she's like, I'm sorry I sent you home. You know, I had to do what I had to do. And she checks me and I'm at a 7.5, almost an 8. And she's like, all right, so we got to hurry because if you don't get this epidural anytime soon, you're not getting one. And so they came in and they put my IV in and she's like, you have to have half of the bag of the IV before we can give you your epidural. So I'm in this room. Oh, I forgot to leave this. I left this out. My husband's at work the whole time. And I told him, I said, they're sending me home. Don't worry about it. And then not even 10 minutes later, I'm like, all right, like I'm having a baby. And he works probably about 40 minutes from where I was delivering. And I was like, take your time. I was in labor with Willow for 12 hours, you know. And so he's just taking his time. And I remember, so I'm in this room just laboring by myself. And I'm such like a loud laborer that I was like just kind of making noise, you know. And my door was halfway open. This nurse comes in. She's like, do you need me to just kind of like sit with you? And I was like, I don't know if it's going to change anything, but it would help, you know. And I was kind of embarrassed because I was like, I feel like my husband should be here with me. And here I am like squeezing hands with this random nurse, you know, crying in her arms. But she was great. And I think that that's something that completely changed the dynamic of my delivery, was that she was an amazing nurse. Every single time I had a contraction come on, she would tell me, okay, like, I'm going to push on your knees so that it relieves the pressure from your hips, or try and lean this way, or try and do this, and it will kind of help you. And so that was something that was so amazing to have while my husband wasn't able to be there. And so it probably took like another half hour for me to get the IV bag in. And I finally got the epidural, and it was amazing. It's the best thing ever. And my husband made it, let's see, he probably got there like 15 minutes after I had my epidural. So I was numb. I was happy. So this man got to miss out on all of my like raging and my swearing. And it was, I mean, he was happy. It didn't even matter. So by this time, it's like 6:30. We hang out for like a half hour, and my nurse comes in, and she's like, all right, so I have some news, you know. Your doctor's not going to make it to your delivery. And I just started crying. I was like, what do you mean my doctor's not going to make it to my delivery? I guess that he had gone out of town, you know, for the afternoon, or earlier that afternoon. And she's like, so the on-call doctor is going to deliver you. And thank goodness the doctor that was on call was actually the doctor who diagnosed me with cholestasis with Willow. And so I knew her, and I knew how she was, and she was amazing. So she comes in 7 o'clock, she comes in, she's like, all right, you're dilated to a 10. And I'm like, wait, what? That was so fast. She's like, you're dilated to a 10. You're ready to go. But Sage was sunny side up. So she's like, I'm going to put you on the peanut ball and see if maybe we can turn her so that we don't have to deliver her that way, cause then you'll risk like bruising on her face when she comes out. And so she left me for about 45 minutes while she was delivering another baby, and she came back in and she was like, okay, she flipped. Thank goodness. Cause I was so worried about a bruised baby. And, they lift my legs to start pushing, and Sage's head is like halfway out already. They're like, all right, she's ready. Let's go. I pushed twice and she was here, and it was seriously just like the easiest thing I have ever done. I mean, after being in labor for so long with Willow, and I mean, I only pushed for a half hour with Willow, but it felt totally different because it was like I was almost like in the right mindset with this pregnancy. I had like a healthy pregnancy. I was happy the majority of my pregnancy, and it just worked out exactly how I wanted it to. So that was great. So she was born December 4th at 7:57. She weighed 8 pounds, 13 ounces, and she came out with the chubbiest cheeks. They're the cutest thing. And like the moment that I held her, there was no question in my mind if I could ever love her as much as I loved Willow. It was like just natural, you know. They put her on my chest and I'm crying, and she is just not even making a peep. She's the sweetest thing. So we got our 1 hour to ourselves where I just got to hold her. And then the doctor came back in and she said, there's a possibility that your daughter might have clubbed foot. And she showed me Sage's foot, and Sage's foot was kind of turned like back and facing up. And she said, so we're going to have a specialist come in and talk to you from Shriners, which is the hospital here, in Utah. They're going to come in and talk to you and kind of like look at it, evaluate it, whatever. And so I had a pediatrician, and then I had somebody from Shriners come in to look at her foot. And if you've listened to my last podcast, you'll remember that Willow has something called an accessory tragus on her ear. So I'm like used to like, okay, there's something different with my kid, I guess, in that sense. And so they came in and they're like, yeah, so this is kind of what's going on, you know, and the doctor looked at me and he's like, you don't seem like upset or anything. And I was like, no, because it's not anything big to me. You know, like I have a healthy baby. She's here, club foot or not, like she's fine and we can deal with it as time comes, you know? And the next day we ended up having, after like having Sage, the next day in the hospital, we ended up having another pediatrician come in and look at her foot. And they said, no, this isn't club foot. This is positional. So whatever way Sage was laying in my stomach, she was pressed up against something and her foot had just been sitting that way for so long that that's how she was holding it when she came out. And when, I mean, it's probably been like that. It was like that for like 3 days. And before we even left the hospital, it was back to like where it needed to be. But that was definitely like a big shock to be like, okay, now I have to deal with something different with a different child kind of thing, you know? So anyways, yeah. So labor and delivery. So now postpartum. So my postpartum has been completely opposite of what it was with Willow. It was almost like instantly I had postpartum depression with Willow, but I didn't want to admit that. So I held out with Willow till about 3 months when I finally got help with that. But with Sage, I feel like I had already had a high needs baby. I had a super fussy baby and it's almost like I knew exactly what to do. Okay, she needs to, you know, she's fussy. She probably needs to poop. And so like right away I was taking Sage to the chiropractor and we went to the chiropractor and she hasn't had any problems going to the bathroom regularly. And she's not nearly as fussy as her sister ever was. So it's like all of those worries that I had not being able to handle another baby, it was like natural instinct. And I knew exactly what I needed to do because I had done it before. She is the easiest baby. The day we brought her home from the hospital, she slept 6 hours straight. And I was like, okay, do I wake her up? Do I leave her there? Whatever. So I ended up letting her sleep just because I was like, don't wake a sleeping baby. You know, she gained weight out of the hospital. I just let her sleep 6 hours straight. And ever since then, she has been like a dream. It's like I can put her in the bouncer and she can sit by herself, or I can put her in the swing and she can sit by herself for a little while. And so it's just been so much easier because I can focus on both Willow and Sage. Now that Willow's a little bit more independent, it's easier. Willow can play, I can feed Sage, and then I can put Sage down if Willow needs me. Willow's transition into being a big sister has been so much easier than I thought that it was going to be. Willow is the best big sister. The amount of love that she shows is just insane to me. It's something that, like, I never thought she could, like, be capable of loving a little thing so much. But she always wants to hold her sister and rub her sister. And every single night before bed, she says, "Gotta kiss sister." And she goes over and gives her a big kiss. And first thing in the morning when she wakes up, "Where's sister?" And she goes right down and gives her sister a big kiss. And it's just the sweetest thing in the whole entire world.
So I feel like this episode is one of those episodes that like every mom that is like moving on from their first child to their second child should listen to. Like you took me back sometimes. So my second child is almost 8 years old now. But I felt like it was so relatable in so many aspects, as like you were just talking. I remember like so vividly with my second, when I was pregnant with my second, like how in the heck will I love somebody? How can I love somebody as much as I love my first, you know, like it's like impossible. And when you said, I wanted to immediately say like, oh, but when your baby was born, you instantly like that
right.
doubt went like completely out the window. Like you almost feel so silly for even worrying and like investing so much time worrying about that. Because it's so natural. Like, it's so insane how you just instantly love somebody. I mean, of course you love your baby when you're carrying them and stuff, but like, it's a whole different kind of love. Like, the minute that you see them, the minute that you meet them, it's just so crazy. And so I felt like that was so relatable. And I know that there's so many moms out there that feel that same way too. So, and there were just a lot of things that you had mentioned in this episode, like just the transition and stuff, like just the things that you had thought about prior to having Sage. Like, I just feel like they're super relatable. So this is going to be an episode that I'm like, okay, if you're coming on to your second baby, you better listen to this one, because it's a lot. And then there was another thing that you said. So I had a majority of my babies. I have six kids, and a majority of them, I mean, they all came well before their due date up until this last pregnancy that I had. And I had him 2 days before his due date. And so that was the longest I had been pregnant before that was 38 weeks. And so I made it 2 days before his due date. And I am not even, I can tell you for sure, those are like the longest, those last weeks. And the longer you go, like, it just feels like the longer time, like, drag on. And I think that's just a natural feeling for anybody. And I was really patient. Like, I was really patient just because he was my sixth kid. Right. And I was just like, I know how this goes. And, but still, I mean, it did. In comparison, like, the time was just so, it just drags on, and it was crazy. I couldn't even believe that I was even pregnant that long, for one, because I always had complications. And like, he was my pregnancy. It was such a healthy pregnancy. I had no issues. It was just amazing. And so I was like, oh, girlfriend, I feel you on that, because I always tell all my friends, you know, they're like, oh, I went to labor and delivery today, and then they sent me home. Right. And I'm like, dude, I feel you. Like, the last days are just like equivalent to a bajillion years. There's just no easy way around it. Hang in there, mama. So, well, I think you covered pretty much everything. This is an awesome story, and I'm so thankful that you had such a quick and healthy pregnancy and delivery as well. You know, you did not have to deal with the cholecystasis. That's quite the, for a first pregnancy, I know that probably was quite the event for you, for your first pregnancy. But,
well, Isabella, I want to tell you, I appreciate you so much for coming on to a second episode today. It was an absolute pleasure having you. Congratulations on your new baby girl. And yes, thank you for being such an amazing supporter of this podcast. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. That's all the time we have for this episode, but be sure to catch up on all of our episodes on your favorite podcast platform. If you or someone you know are interested in being a guest on our show, find us on Instagram at From Bumps to Birth, or you can message me, Ricky Hamley, on Facebook. Thank you so much for your support and listening. And until next time, I am your host, Ricky Hamley.